I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here we go. We're back. Shoulder Footy Cast live from Backchat Studios. I'm not in Melbourne on a junket. Skeeter lives his life on a junket, but he is next to me. Hello, Mark Reddings. How are you, mate?
Hello, Scully. It's nice of you to return and join us after the grand final, one for the ages, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but an important day for my family, my daughter, Georgia, one of the twins. She's graduating through university today, and right? I say that because I didn't quite get to that part of my educational life. I didn't quite get to university, so that she's gone one step further than her old man.
You didn't go to uni. Why didn't you go to uni?
Because I didn't get enough of my TE. I was year 12.
I was a numpty.
I was not smart enough to get into a journalism degree, and I ended up not going to university and missing out on some fun days.
That makes two of us, mate. I didn't go to uni.
Well, hence you've got the content that we've dish up on a weekly basis on this show.
I wonder if you could tell if neither of us got to uni.
Formal education outside year 12. Did you get to year 12?
Yeah, I did, yes.
Did you? Yeah, I did, year 12, yeah. But I
was good. I got accepted into law.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've done half a law degree. You know this.
Why do you talk yourself down? Like that's quite. You know, I didn't get enough to get into university to do journalism.
Well, yeah, I did, but I just didn't.
Now, mind you, I didn't try in year 12. I was night clubbing. I didn't try.
I was night clubbing too.
Night clubbing on the darts, drinking. Yeah. It was like going to a place called. What's it called, one of the pubs up the road from Trinity, and the raunchy
hippie club?
No, the raunchy girls, they do this strip show and all that. So that's what we did in the after school.
Is that right?
It worked out okay. No, my dad was in the media. I sort of knew what I wanted to do. Did you know that you wanted to play footy? Like, was it in your head? Oh, don't worry about study, the law thing?
No. Well, I got really good marks in school because I didn't think footy was.
Wasn't on the agenda then.
Well, it was, but I just didn't. You know, I was pick 50 in the draft. Yeah. I was a bit of a roll of the dice.
Yep.
So, like my best mate who I was with over in Geelong, famously day of the draft, I rang him up and he's a good player. He played about 100 VFL games for Werribee after school. He was the captain of our footy side at Geelong College. We were premiers that year in 2006. I rang him up and I said, what do you think is going to happen today? And he's like, oh, well, I think I'm going to go. He's talking about himself. I think I'm going to go 60, 70. Didn't get drafted, mind you. Never played an AFL game. And I said, where do you think I'm going to go? He said, mate, you have no chance to get drafted. None whatsoever. So anyway, the day evolves, and this is relevant because draft combine is coming up, and then draft day will be after that. It came around to my house. I got drafted number 50. He came around, and he was so happy for me. But fast forward 2018, we win the flag, and my five best mates, I got signed team jumpers from West Coast and gave them all to them, sort of signify our friendship. And I wrote little messages on the back of them all, so they're framed, so no one can see them other than them. Well, he's framed it since. And on the back of his, it says, hey, mate, thanks for your friendship over the years. Just remember you told me I wasn't going to get drafted on the back of my premiership jumper. So stick that one up your ass, Mike Rockefeller.
Mike Rockefeller?
Yeah, that's right.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he likes that too. Welcome, Shelter Footy Cast. You know what to do. Find us on socials. Big things happening over there. Going to be plenty coming up over the next couple of weeks. Footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au if you want to shoot us an email. Skeet, I reckon we can get a bottle mark Ruffy of the week out. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, God, I haven't prepared. We've never prepared. So, but bottle mark Ruffy of the week.
Yeah.
I just want you to come up with something flavoursome for Trade Week because Trade Week is on the way, Skeet. I had to look up maybe some of the key dates and I don't have them yet. So, Jaden, if you could track down some of them for me, I would like to see them for this year's trade period. But I just want a little bit of a funky trade to throw at me at some point during today. Let's get into a big moment over here in the West as we usually start. Let's start with some Freo news. Sean Darcy still hasn't signed, Skeeter.
No, but by the same token, he is signed for next year. So it's not like he's out of contract.
You're right.
And so it's probably a little premature.
But the drums are beating. There's some drums beating.
Yeah, well,
Are they beating or not? I'm hearing some beating drums.
They're also beating about Tom Barras going about 3 months ago that it was a done deal. So perhaps, yeah, look, it is always a concern if the club, which clearly they want him to re-sign or extend before he gets to the point where it's it leaves him vulnerable to an offer from, say, Geelong. If he wants to stay, why wouldn't he just do a deal now? Or is it his manager saying hold off until the middle of next year?
Do you think he'll be in a stronger position next year if he did want to leave, or do you think he'd be in a stronger position right now?
It's all dependent on your form. I mean, now, I still think he's...
He's in the tier below English and Rowan Marshall. I would say he's in a tier alongside Max Gawn. Is that outrageous?
You mean financially or in terms of quality?
Not financially. No, Ruckman.
Oh, Ruckman. Yeah, he's in the top five in the competition. Is that what I think? I'd put him there.
I'd have Marshall English.
Yep.
And then underneath, I'd have Witts, Gawn, Darcy.
Yeah, in that top five or six for sure.
I don't really have another one jumping off the page at me.
Yeah. I sense that if he wants to commit long term, why not do it now? But I mean, obviously there's tactics that managers.
Because the alternate would he's contracted, why do I need to renegotiate deal before I'm out of contract?
Yeah.
We're going to get to some of the contracts that have been thrown around at the moment a little bit later, Skeet, but
I think he'll stay. That's my.
Well, we've been pretty strong on this podcast throughout the year that Fremantle need him. Why would you move him on? Luke Jackson isn't a standalone ruckman for their future, and they don't have a backup that's suitable at this stage.
I mean, just quickly, what would tempt you from a Fremantle perspective in terms of draft picks?
A first round draft pick minimum first round.
Yeah, minimum.
Yeah, probably a couple.
Yeah,
probably a couple. And so you're probably not getting that, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
Joel Hamling's getting a little bit of interest, which I am not surprised with. You did not call you called the Waffle Grand Final.
Yeah, I've called a lot of
people. He was outstanding in that Peel Grand Final.
And also,
he was their best player.
During the qualifying final against Subiaco, he's played some really good footy. And yeah, so I think it looks like Sydney's going to give him a bit more opportunity, it sounds like.
He looks like he's got his speed and his love for footy back. We spoke to him on 6PR halfway through the year, and he said just that. He'd lost his love for footy, been injured for 3 years, ankles, feet, knees. He's not injured, and he looks like the player that Freo recruited, you know, off a premiership year as a Bulldog.
So I think they've offered him a one-year deal, which is what I think is...
Fremantle.
Yeah. I think that's reasonable from a Fremantle perspective. Sydney must be offering him two, are they?
They've been in the hunt for a key defender since they've been talking to Tom Barras. Mm. I don't know if there's much else going on at Freo. I start with Fremantle, and I have a look at those two guys. I don't know if there's much else going on.
It's only the Liam Henry issue, which to resolve what they get back from St Kilda. But you're right. In terms of go back 12 months, it was the barn door had opened and the horses had gone.
I think they're sort of battening down the hatches a bit. This is the team we need going forward. Like, what does Freo need going forward? I wrote a little list. I think they need a key forward. I think they need
So you're not backing in Amos and Tracy?
I am, but I think you could do more than just two blokes on the list that can play there.
Absolutely.
I know they've got Matt Tabiner, but he's out of favour.
And his body's not been great to him during his career. But he's not the answer for you in the long term, is he?
These are things that they should be hunting at the trade table, I think, if they're going to get anything. Midfield change of pace. I think they need someone in there. We saw them try to do it with Young late in the year, Hayden Young. I think they've got, plotters is the wrong word, but they've got a lot of guys. One-pace guys. Sarong, Gunn. Brayshaw, Gunn. Matty Johnson's going to be a good player. Erasmus going to be a good player. But none of them got pace
at all. And look, I've got a theory that at the AFL level, and you obviously look at the premiers and what they've done, I still think the Dockers, and you mentioned a forward, lacking a forward or two, I think the midfield is absolutely the spot they need to. And not just one. I think if you can have 7, 8, 9 that can roll through there, it gives you so many more options. I just think the midfield area is the one that, given the absence of David Money, that's now 12 months, but they're probably, I still think they're, from being a premiership contender, I still think they're, and maybe those young players will become that, but probably a couple of really good mids away from putting themselves in the frame.
I think they need another outside runner in that mix as well. I think Nathan O'Driscoll looked like he was developing into that player, but he seemed to fall out of favour this year as well. So, they've got some guys in that ilk, but I think they could probably add someone with that real outside run that runs all day, you know, Brad Hill type areas, which, you know, Liam Henry, they played a lot on the wing this year. Blake Akers, right? They played him a lot. They're trading both of those guys away. I think they need to replace that position because that position's going to be vacant this year. So that's Freo. I don't know if they're going to make much moves this trade period. I don't think they've got a lot of cattle to move around or that they want to move, and they don't have any picks because they traded them away.
No, so their picks are minimal. I think they went through a bit of pain last year. I tend to agree with you. They're going to back in primarily what they had and think that there's going to be, and because they're still pretty young, there's going to be an upside on that front. But I agree with you, Todd. I think their midfield, if they can find something in the draft particularly, because, I mean, you're not going to get Clayton Oliver, for instance, and we'll get to him in a second, but I think they'll stick pretty much to what they've done over the past 2 years and go back to the draft.
The West Coast Eagles, on the other hand, they are taking anyone who can play football. You can strap some boots on, they will take them. They need a ruck. They've done
got one.
Matt Flynn, he joins the football
club. Can he
play? I think he can. I actually had a look back at the game West Coast won. He had 40 hit-outs, was one of the best players on the ground in that game. So he may have played well in front of a team that, you know, liked to look at him. I do think Bailey Williams is edged his way into a viable ruckman in the competition.
Absolutely.
So I wonder what he's thinking at the moment, because his role, he'll be battling it out with a Matt Flynn, and there's certainly no downside in having competition at the ruck spot. You can't have one ruckman running around, and they drafted Harry Barnett last year.
Yeah. So hopefully from Harry's perspective, he can step up and play a senior game this year. I know it takes a lot longer for the big blokes, but you'd be expecting in the next 12 to 18 months that he plays some footy. I guess the question is with Bailey Williams, he wasn't recruited as a ruckman.
No.
He was recruited as a forward. So yes. I just hope perhaps there's a chance for him to establish himself in that area. And I've got Oscar Allen and Jack Darling there. But I think the confidence that he might have gained in the ruck can translate into his development as a forward as well.
Yeah, and then he can be a proper, you know, a Luke Jackson type who's a forward that plays, can play in the ruck and can really contribute in the ruck rather than just being a tall bloke that might be able to put his hand up in the air. More mids. They need more mids. They've got a good young brigade, but, you know, they'll either keep pick one or they'll trade that into two and they'll be getting midfielders. They'll be very young. They probably across the board just need a couple of players in that mid-range. Now, Tyler Brockman's been linked to the football club.
Yep.
Dev Robinson's been linked to the football club. Nephew of Darren Glass. He was very good in the grand final.
He was good. 13 touches a goal.
I'm very much an eye sort of guy, Skeeter. Stats are good, but just watching the way he moved and the way he hit packs and his intensity, I really, really liked it.
Yeah, but if you like what he did for Brisbane in the grand final, I know he's going to get a longer contract here. I know he's going to get back to family. If you're looking at success, and I guess that's the barometer of what you play footy for, you're coming back here for money, not success initially. You're in for the long haul here. Is he in the best 22?
Well, no, because he came into the team when Will Ashcroft got injured, so he wasn't. So you stay one more year, they get a full list again and what you're on the outer again, or you want to come home, you want to get a better deal. You want to win a premiership, yes,
but
are you saying that, well, how old is he, 21? You're saying that West Coast can't win a flag in the next 10 years?
No, but I'm saying, you know, no one looks 10 years ahead in footy, do you? You're looking short term, and I'm not saying he makes the wrong decision if he goes to the Eagles. I'm just saying it's just different priorities with regards to financial security, more game time, or the prospect of doing a Des Headland and getting that being up there and getting the flag, playing in a premiership team. Which, let's be honest, I know you've had a knock for them this year, but they were a kick away from winning it this year, and so they're not far off it.
Don't worry, I know exactly where I put myself this year. It's a big, deep, dark hole and I had nowhere to go. Don't worry. I copped a fair bit of feedback over in Melbourne about it as well, Scott.
Yeah, I thought so.
And West Coast needs speed. I think they need another Jaden Hunt. I thought at the time it was a good trade. I'd seen what Jaden Hunt had done at Melbourne. He was outstanding this year, top five in the best and fairest. They need another runner. They need another speed runner, takes the game on, that breaks lines, and they don't come very easily, to be honest. Like these sorts of guys, Jack Petrocelli, they've been hoping he becomes that or is that, and haven't got enough consistency out of him. I'm sorry,
Not quick. I'm not sure if he's quick, but Kitty Coleman, just the way he used the ball off half back. I mean,
a mover.
Yeah, someone who can use it well.
Okay, everyone wants that.
No, and I just, as soon as I saw Kitty in that pre-team, look, you can tell me totally differently, but there's a bit, the Lewis Jetta style where he had the beautiful kick set, can really open up the game, and that's, you know, there's so many areas the Eagles are going to fill.
Yep.
Down back might not be one of those areas. No, I reckon they're sort of stable. They're as stable as you can get, you know, providing, of course, the big boys can stay healthy.
They re-signed a few players as well. Noah Long, Jai Cully, Alex Witherden and Jake Waterman. Let's keep moving, Skeeter. A couple of big issues to get through this week. And I did want to start with the Freo and West Coast stuff, but probably the biggest trade news is Clayton Oliver stuff that floats around. Where do you – can we get some clarity on it? Where do you see it actually sitting? Because there's a lot of stuff floating around, and this is what happens in trade week. And
but this sounds, speculate. But this sounds more real than fantasy, because it's got to the point where Melbourne has stayed silent.
Yes.
And you'd think if it was crap, they'd come out and say, this ain't happening, we're not trading, don't
yes.
you think?
Yes.
By now. It's yes. got like it's come out a couple of days ago.
What do they gain by that? They've got him on a 7-year deal. There's no need for Melbourne to come out and speak.
But if they aren't entertaining, if they say we want to keep this guy to shut it down, why would you do it?
Why would you need to shut it down? Is it a 7-year deal? That does all the talking in my mind. I mean, that is one thing that I'd like. You know, these contracts that have been thrown around, they clearly mean nothing.
Well, that's hence Aaron Norton. I mean, 8-year like, extension means
Clayton Oliver gets traded. He's got seven years remaining on his deal. What are you talking
contracts
about?
Contracts are nothing. I said this morning on radio. It's good talk. And look, there must be something. I think there's something in it for the fact that it's gone for 2.5 days and nothing has been shut down. It has to go back to, by my reading of it, and we're coming from the outside, you know, the bubble clearly, but his attention to detail in his rehab,
yep.
he clearly, there's thoughts that he hasn't been as professional as he could have been.
Yep.
Go back to the blister on the toe and going to hospital and some saying it was a tattoo gone wrong, whatever. But there's a little thread through the back half of the year since he injured himself.
That's good.
That he has been not as professional. Someone even said he might have moved in with Maxi Gawn just to get him through some off-field issues. Now, I don't know what those issues are, but clearly he hasn't been happy either with the Melbourne medical staff with the rehab that he did. So there's an impasse between the two. Is it resolvable? You'd hope so from a Melbourne perspective, because four fairest and best at the club, 2 times All-Australian, premiership player, and they're talking arguably if he played out the rest of his career, one of the best ever to represent Melbourne. So to let that player go because of off-field behavioural issues perhaps, that's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, the rehab stuff seems like one part of it. There does seem to be some sort of off-field stuff floating around. But I come back to the fact there's a 7-year deal in place. So if we just cut to the truth, if he's going to be traded, someone's got to come up with a deal that replaces that. So they're going to have the money to pay him, for starters.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have the picks to get him out of Melbourne. And they've got to have agreement from both Melbourne and Clayton.
Yeah.
So he's not a restricted free agent. He's not an unrestricted free agent.
He's just got married like last week, essentially. Like a very early in his courtship.
He's a contracted player. Yeah. Darren Burgess is at the Adelaide Crows, which is the link there. And Adelaide seem like a team that may be able to come up with some of these things. But you're not paying him much less than 800 grand a year, I wouldn't have thought.
Or given.
Radicalea
and Mackay.
Do you know what I mean? That would be like unders on the market at the moment. He's one of the best midfielders in the competition. So you're probably paying him $1 million a year, I suppose. So you've got to have that sort of coin lying around. Does Adelaide have that sort of money? There's a lot of things that need to happen. And yes, there hasn't been a statement from Melbourne, but I think that's explained away by the fact that they've got him contracted and it probably doesn't do them much. You know, personally, as if I was a football club, my faith has been shown in putting a 7-year contract in front of you, Clayton. So why do we need to come out and say, oh, we're not interested in training him? That's not up to them. I don't know if it's clearly, but, you know, it must be part player driven.
The weird element to this is it's got nothing to do with his footy ability. It's to do with something outside of footy, if there's any truth to it.
Could we get him to Freo? Wouldn't he be the sort of guy that I'm talking about?
You're talking about selling the farm. What would you have to get?
You're not getting him to Freo. There's absolutely
not getting him to WA.
Well, West Coast.
No, I wouldn't be going in. I think West Coast have got
to go. Why wouldn't you be going down the Clayton Oliver path?
What do you have to give up to get?
Pick one's involved.
Pick one.
Who's better player? Harley Reid or Clayton Oliver?
Well, clearly. the latter at this stage.
So pick one for Clayton Oliver.
So you're happy to give up pick one?
Who's a better player?
Well, you're not giving up more than you're going to give up a lot more than pick one, Scully. If you're okay. not going to get him for more for just pick one,
oh, a bit of money. Clearly, there's issues with the football club. We just discussed that.
Yeah, but you're suggesting the Eagles, you're being a smartass here, that they could get him for pick one.
I'm just saying.
Of course, if you could say swap pick one for, of course you're taking Clayton Oliver.
Elliot Yeo on pick one.
No.
Okay. Who says no?
I'm saying no. And you know, I've got no idea, but I just think. I just think he's. I agree with you totally. There's no comparison between an untried, possible first pick in the draft to a bloke that's won four F&Bs.
I'm looking forward to Aaron Norton being talked about traded next year, as he's just signed an 8-year extension. The Rockingham boy. I'm sure Freo and West Coast will be sniffing around at some stage, so I'm not sure what relevance this has, but he has signed an 8-year extension, which is extraordinary. Tim English, Damar Ugel-Hagen, Bailey Smith, all heading into contract years next year. So
would they be happy with?
I don't know.
I mean,
I would say the longer the deal goes, the more unders you're getting paid because you're stipulating it across a fair
such period. A long time. You think of the big contracts in the AFL history: Alistair Lynch, 10 years, from Fitzroy to Brisbane.
Now it's a lot of money in a package, but per year, I think it's broken it'd be spaced down.
And Buddy, obviously, 9 years was. Massive, and there's been a few. There's been some really long ones. The one long one that hasn't worked, I guess, is the Grundy one. But
Clayton Oliver.
if he goes, it's so interesting because of the unknowns, and this will continue for the next week. Hopefully, it does for us. Give us something to talk about.
Aaron Norton's got to be the best thing to come out of Rockingham since I'm not going to say
McGowan.
No, I was going to say McGowan.
No, I can't say that either.
Norton shits all over him. Aaron Norton. I mean, like Rockingham's finest. How good's that? Like if we can put a positive spin on this.
Yeah, I'm just trying to
have a kid coming out of Rockingham, Peel Thunder boy, gets dropped for the grand final in 2016.
By Ross.
By Ross. Was it by Ross?
Well, did he instigate it?
Well, maybe. Goes over to Western Bulldogs. He's sort of a defender in the waffle. Turns himself into, like I've played on Norton, I've spoken about him on this podcast. Scary guy to play on. Hits packs as hard as anyone in the AFL that I've ever played on. And he dukes him as well. I don't hate the commitment from Western Bulldogs saying you're our guy, we're getting behind you. I don't hate it,
no.
But I don't love it either.
No, it's just funny. And I say comes on the same sort of cycle as the Oliver thing with what numbers he's got next to his name for the next few years. And so 8 years, you're right. It looks good and it shows he's committed, whether it's for 8 years or not, whether he's still playing. I just thought about it, Scott. When he is in the last year of his contract...
What will you be doing?
I'll be 62.
Good God.
It'll be the year of the Brisbane Olympics. And hopefully I'll be 62. And if you're sitting here talking shit in 8 years from now, you're going to be a multi or you're going to be in the bones of your ass. That's my prediction.
It could easily go either way, I reckon, Skate.
8 years.
Bloody hell.
He's played 6 years already, kicked 44 goals this season. Is he ever going to be a 70, 80 goal season sort of guy?
Could be. Look, like the argument could be made that surrounding him with Jamar Ugel-Hagen, Rory Lobb, and others.
Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy. There's another one that they turned into a back.
Josh Bruce there.
Yeah, Josh Bruce. You know what I mean? So he's not a, I suppose Charlie Kerno's up against Harry Mackay, isn't he? But, I think he could be a very good player. That's why I don't hate it.
Well, he is. He's a gun.
Bontempelli wins his fifth best and fairest, the Charles Sutton medal last night, won it by 60 votes to Libba.
Yeah, Libba, and I think to be fair to Bont, he gave Libba a shout out, justifiably so, given the inside work that he's done this year. So, Libba's a superstar. I know you love him. Bontempelli, possibly stiff not to win the Brownlow, but there are probably a few stories like that.
I saw a little quirky thing. The Western Bulldogs give they give votes for preseason games, and I'm assuming there was only one preseason game.
Do they?
Yeah, yeah. So they gave like an updated first rounds. You know, it might usually be like 1-7. It was preseason 2-7. So
wow.
Yeah, outrageous. I did forget. We moved on from Clayton Oliver. If you want to hear more from him, we did chat to him over at Fat Chat by Body Magic, one of the Back Chat Studios podcasts.
Sorry, Fat Chat.
you might actually do well to have a fucking listen, Mark Reddings.
Like, talk about, you look, have a listen.
Or Fat Chat talking about routine, talking about.
I'm very routine.
Preparation.
I'm like bloody Rain Man. I just do talking the same thing.
What sort of preparation?
Mate, I am so routine now. Like, my blokes become routine.
Yeah, routine, yeah. Boring.
Boring, my wife say, you're boring prick.
So, all things the mental side of the game. So, our great host, Jared Madger, sat down with Clayton Oliver, and we released that yesterday.
When did you nice speak to him?
Skeeter.
Don't ask those questions. Can't reveal those sort of things,
So get over to Fat Chat, buy Body Magic. I don't have a lot of battery left on my laptop, so this will be good when my laptop dies. Now, Bontempelli wins. Harris Andrews beats Lachie Neal in the Brisbane Best and Fairest. The Brownlow medalist goes down.
Can happen, can't it, from time? Well, like, for instance, Matty Prittis wins the Brownlow, misses out on the All-Australian side.
Eric McKenzie won the Best and Fairest that year.
Did he really? Yeah, so it's not unprecedented.
I mean, a Backman thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not, he's a good player, Harris Andrews. He's a ripper. Both co-captains, of course. And Brisbane, I think they can hold their heads up high, and they get, as you say, they get Ashcroft back next season. They're going to be a super club, I reckon, again in 2024. Now they know they can, well, they can win at the MCG. They haven't regularly, but they know they can play good footy there.
Welcome, Indy. Thank you for the charger. Now, I would like to say Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, shout out Footycast. I've got some dates for trade period for you, Skeeter. So we've done a bit of back and forward on this, and I've got some more updates for you, Skeet. But just the dates, because I think I certainly have no idea what's going on. So, that doesn't signify anything usually, because I don't usually have any knowledge of what's happening. October 6th, which is tomorrow, the restricted and unrestricted free agency period starts. So people can sign. So I believe Matt Flynn will sign tomorrow or the next day. Okay. That runs for 2 days. I don't know how long. Like, that's when it starts. Doesn't tell me when it finishes. But it opens.
It'll go for a week.
Tomorrow, Friday. I don't know why it starts on Friday. The draft combine, October 6th and 8th.
Yep, that's in Melbourne.
So that's this weekend.
As I said, they've got 12 West Aussies going across. Have I talked about this already? The guys that are going? No. Dan Curtin's going, but he's
done a hammy.
Done a slight hammy in that Colts grand final victory.
I don't remember ever doing a hamstring before the age of about 25.
No, well,
they're working the kids pretty hard these days. That was the first reaction I had, and this is nothing on Dan.
I think he's pinged it completely. I think it's just more the awareness, and given that this is a testing regime, he's going to go over still, but do the interviews and not the actual testing. But as I said, there's some really good players from WA going. Aiden O'Driscoll, very quick. He kicked 2 goals early for Perth in that Colts grand final. So he's going to be a watch with Nathan, obviously, and his Emma as part of his family, doing some good work at Fremantle.
Going very well.
She's a ripper as well. Lance Collard, really good young player from Subiaco, kicked 4 or 5 in a final in the Colts.
That Collard name's...
I think he's NGA, okay. So keep an eye on him with regards to what he can do. Zane Zakostelski. Austrian descent. He's a ruckman from Claremont, was the best on ground in the Colts. He's like come from nowhere.
To a character out of Seinfeld.
Oh, it's a great name. Zakostelski. Just if you can get your tongue around it, it's going to be beautiful to say in a few years now. He's a good, very good player who's come a long way after not being really on the radar for a while. So best on ground in the Colts.
Really?
Yeah, so there's some talent there. Not saying it's our best ever haul going across, but I'm not being rude. Was there a combine when you were involved?
We are being rude.
No, was there? No, what?
You're calling me out.
No, I'm just asking, what sort of, was there a combine back when you were drafted that year?
There was, yeah. It got me drafted, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So I came in...
Similar to what they do now, like similar testing?
Yeah, we went to AIS in Canberra.
Was you?
I remember the phone call I got to go there, and was from my Falcons coach who hadn't picked me.
Yep.
They put forward a group and for the state team. He hadn't put me forward for the state team, and I made the draft combine. And I remember him ringing me and being surprised. Can't remember his name, but I remember his shock on his voice, and still think about it. Actually, went there. Look, I was very much a roll of the dice, as I said. But yeah, I was top 10 in the beep test, top 10 in the top 10 speed, top 10 agility.
That helped you get drafted. Oh, you think? No question.
Top 10 3K time trial. Yeah, it was probably the reason. Yeah,
really.
They see a 195 centimeter kid that goes top 10 in the 3K in the beep test, and has speed and agility. It's like, well, we can't can't not roll the dice.
Yeah, well, as you say, roll the dice because there is still a question mark, despite all those qualities. Well, can you
correct?
Can you play the game?
Correct. But I would think if you go well at this and you're in that maybe case,
yeah,
you're certainly putting yourself in a good line.
More positive than
that. I prepared for it. You know, I trained for it. And,
yep. Did they have interviews with clubs back
yeah,
then?
Yeah, you go through all the interviews. I had Mark Chocker Williams have me in a room with the lights off first up on the first night
really?
I was there. Yeah, it was
lights off.
Mate, he was trying to intimidate and to it was strange. I walked in. There's a laptop on the table. I thought I told this story. I walked in, laptop on the table.
It's like Survivor.
Yeah, and all the coaching staff are sitting around. He's like, the laptop is glowing his face, and he's like, "G'day, Will, how you going, mate? Like, sit down." Goes straight to the space bar, doesn't say anything, just presses the thing, goes, watch this. Plays a piece of vision, and it was a horror movie. No. Plays a piece of vision, it was a kick out. He said, watch what the guy does, I'm going to pause it, you're going to tell me what he's going to do. Just pressed it once, watched it, and then paused it right about when he was about to make an action. He said, what should he do? Not what's he going to do, what should he do? Mm. And I said, he's going to kick long to this guy. He's like, nah, short to this guy, nah. I got like five guesses, all wrong. There's no one on the mark. He wanted the guy to play on and run down the middle. Anyway, so I failed that and got drafted by West Coast.
Didn't go to Port Adelaide, yeah.
Port had the next pick, and I got pretty good word that I was going to Port.
Oh, wow.
After West Coast, I believe. They took Justin West off not long after me, which was
a reasonable result for them. Too. Yeah. Two big blokes with beards.
That is correct. So that is the 6th to the 8th, the National Draft Combine, which is this weekend. October 9th, the trade period starts. So Monday... Trade period starts.
Yeah, and how long does it go for? 1 week?
October 18.
So, October 18?
Yeah. So
everything gets done on the 17th and 18th?
They have until 7:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time.
And if you've seen the Stan Docker, show me the money, you got blokes like Youngie running down there and all the blokes, all the player managers who absolutely detest publicity openly, but then, of course, they love it deep down.
National Draft's on November 20, so...
Yes, on Monday.
Look forward to.
Yeah, it's all...
No. National Draft. Oh, wait. It's a Monday.
It's a Monday, I think. Okay. Pretty sure.
Great. There you go. There's the date, Skate. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shuttle Footycast. Let's go through some of the other trade stuff that's happening right now, Skate, given that it is about to kick off. I believe there's been a couple of little inquiries made about a Western Australian, Elliot Yeo, by the Gold Coast Suns, having a little bit of a what's Elliot doing over the next few years. So we'll see if that develops at all. Like I said, I think he's got value for West Coast, keeping him at West Coast.
Well, bear in mind.
But he has some currency.
Bear in mind, the Eagles, we've heard about who they've re-signed. We've heard about who they've delisted. We've heard about the retirees. Are they going? They're quite a conservative club in many ways, I think.
Yep.
Is the Elliot Yeo one that they need to sit down, have a think about? Now, he's got currency, but he's also got some history.
Value. Oh, yeah.
He's got some history. So there's a bit of a query, but for the Gold Coast... with a young group, it's got a bit of attraction to it.
You'd think that Hardwick would be a fan of Elliot Yeo.
That type of style, yeah.
Yep. Excuse me, Tom Duday is set to go to Brisbane.
Officially requested, yep.
Yep, so it's an interesting one. He's done his second ACL. He's recovering from that right now.
It is, but you think of the defence of Brisbane at the moment, Harris Andrews is the linchpin. Outside of that, of course, they were tossing up between Gardner and Payne.
Yeah.
He becomes, if he's fit, he becomes that. Because for me, on grand final day, I always felt they were just a bit more vulnerable than the – imagine if the Giants, for instance, the Giants had the defensive pillars playing
Taylor,
for Brisbane that day.
Barkley.
They win the game.
Yeah,
in my view, I just thought they looked very vulnerable going inside 50, inside their defensive 50.
Like
Brisbane
30 scoring shots.
Yeah,
or something,
yeah. So that to me, that's where they need to shore up. I think the rest of Brisbane's setup is hunky dory.
I'm a very big fan of Tom Duday, both as a player and as a person. He's very good on social media, but I don't know if that shores your back line up. Having someone who's in the middle of an ACL recovery, there's no guarantees off the back of that scale.
Oh, of course, no. Well, clearly not. I mean, same with Will Ashcroft, who's a young bloke who's
correct.
Got another 6 months. And I suspect that, yeah, that's the reason. I think with Payne, with Gardner, not quite being able to, and obviously the retirement of Marcus Adams a little while ago, they're just a bit shallow down there.
Yep. Matt Flynn has nominated West Coast. We know that. We can see that. West Coast will be his preferred destination, and he'll walk for free because he is a restricted free agent. So that's a good get for West Coast. I think they'd be happy with that.
Well, isn't it funny? They've had some... ruckmen come across over the journey, and you've played with a couple of them that have, you know, not huge names, but been able
Keegan
to Tom Hickey, Keegan Brooksby, Tom Hickey came across.
Jonathan Giles.
There's a couple of names.
Lane Spanderman.
Yeah, God, we're going back. But yeah, there we go.
I'm trying to think of some other rogue ruckmen I've played. Will Sullivan, I got drafted with. Yeah. Play some footy. They're renowned for having depth at the ruck position. They really struggle without it this year, so I'm not surprised with that move. Mm. James Harms, I know this for a fact. He's out the door of Melbourne.
Yep, he's gone.
I might not be breaking news there.
No, Simon, the exit interview, and I think he knew during the course of the year.
He'd made the call during the year.
Yep.
Richmond looks like a likely suitor to him, which is another sort of midfield depth add behind Taranto, Hopper.
Yeah.
Jaden Short, who goes through there, and the meatball, of course, Prestia.
Yep.
Zach Fisher to North Melbourne, apparently that's happening. So Zach Fisher, look, I felt like he was a best 22 player for most part of Carlton's year this year, but clearly he fell out of favour towards the back end.
Yeah, look, he's...
Could you speak about... talk about Dev Robinson. Yeah, Carlton's just played in a prelim. Yeah. Why would you be going to North Melbourne, Skate?
Yeah, no, well, that's... I suspect it's on the financial side of things. You can obviously see...
That's too bad.
You know, play with under Clarko. But yeah, I think his role at Carlton changed a bit, didn't it? From just a pure small forward to a bit of half-back work as well, so...
We'll get into a lot of this on Monday when the... You know, these are all just sort of rumoured little movements. I don't know how... I really don't know, to reiterate, how active Fremantle's going to be in this trade period. And I don't know if they have to be honest. No. They need to develop their list within. I would say there may be a coaching acquisition at West Coast.
You mentioned Andrew McQualter, possibly, but he's now gone to Melbourne.
Has he?
Yep, so he's gone to Melbourne from Richmond. So you think there's still another appointment to be made at West Coast?
Potentially that there's a potential appointment to be made at West Coast that may or may not have been across the line yet. Okay. But keep your eyes peeled, Skater.
Thank you.
Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. I thought we'd do a little grand final review between you and I, Skate, because we haven't sat down post-grand final. Where'd you watch it from? You were in a corporate box somewhere?
Corporate box. I actually just went and stood...
in standing room only?
Standing room. So I had a few Jim Beams just floating along the way.
I was in the long room.
No, I could tell you addressed, when I saw you late at night, you addressed quite...
Do you want to just skip past the grand final and speak about running into each other after the grand final?
Exciting. You were hungry, I was tired. Well, I was about to go to bed. I went to bed at midnight.
I would say we were both drunk.
Yeah, probably. But we're doing it in the Crown Towers.
There is foyer. No way in the world we should have bumped into each other, mate. Alex, my wife, and I were wandering around looking for food. Like, I was starving.
And I came and said, mate, there's a great spot around the corner. Oh, he's thinking Nobu, he's thinking Rockport. It's a food court. It goes brilliantly. You get the pepperoni pizza.
Where I found you, you were dragging yourself along a wall, basically, in the middle of Crown. I
wasn't. We were in Crown Towers in the foyer. Don't be ridiculous. Don't try and make stuff up. And
I was absolutely blind.
But I did. I was there one night in the food court, and I sat down just by myself to have a pepperoni pizza, and some lady about three chairs away, middle-aged lady, goes, "You're in the media, aren't you?" And I sort of went, yeah, I thought she was going to give me a compliment. And then she went on to this spiel about the vaccination and absolutely started to rip shreds off me.
She might have given a shout out to Footycast.
No, I was part of the conspiracy about vaccination. And I had a couple. You know, when you're in the middle of a pizza, I just, the cheese is coming down the chin. Instead of saying anything, I went, "Have a good night." And I went and sat three tables away. Well, she ranted about my vaccination, part of the media.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I thought, I can't be rooted this time of the morning to sit
morning.
Down. Morning. It was a.m.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it was after midnight. What do you think it is? What, I'm spilling cheese down my chin at, 9 at 9? Anyway, I had a great day at the footy, I reckon. Now, I said your kiss would be good. I thought they were pretty good. I liked them.
I honestly couldn't tell you one thing about it.
The entertainment was good.
Who played at halftime?
It was Mark Seymour.
Right.
Yeah.
What's he did?
He was formerly with Hunters and Collectors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a bit of criticism about him as well with the acoustic version or the slower version. And bottom line is, grand final's a ripper.
It was one of the best grand finals
Best
of all
grand
time,
final, I think.
Since 2018.
18 was very good. This was at least on a par.
Yeah, it was outstanding. I ended up watching the last quarter up with the big wigs. So with I just ended up sneaking into the Olympic stand and sneaking into a seat up there. And I reckon most people were going for Brisbane, because really? Brisbane were up late, weren't they? Like, Collingwood kicked the last two goals of the game. Brisbane were up within ten minutes to go.
No. Well, no, that's not how I remember it. I remember that Collingwood got 10 points clear with about 5 minutes to go.
Right. So with
in the same game or not?
Hang on. So at the
last quarter.
See, I just love when you back yourself in the corners like this.
No. They hit the front in the last quarter.
Brisbane were in front.
By what margin? They were never by 10 points in the last quarter.
Did I say 10 points in the last quarter? I just said they were in front with 10 minutes to go, did I not? We're lucky we're on a podcast and people are listening.
Yeah, that's fine.
Reverse back.
They might have hit the front and then
so what do you mean they might have hit the front? I literally just said they hit the front and you were like, they didn't hit the front. What game were we watching?
They were 10 points behind with 5 minutes to go. That's the bottom line.
But that's not what I said, though. It might be the bottom line in your mind, but that's not what I said. They were in front with 10 minutes to go, Brisbane.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Correct or incorrect?
Well, they hit the front then to go and kick the goal straight away. For about, I reckon,
still
a millisecond.
Side bottom.
Yeah, was it still side bottom whose 50-metre penalty got them back in front, or was it DeGoey's?
Still side bottom.
Okay.
And then DeGoey.
Yep. I think DeGoey might have put them.
And then Joe Danaher kicked one with 2 minutes to go.
Yes.
I think just like the prelim, Brisbane didn't really have an opportunity to get back in front. Once Jordan DeGoey kicked his goal, once still side bottom kicked his goal, Danaher kicks it with 2 minutes to go. There's 1:56 left.
They were going
to
shut it down from there, weren't they?
I don't think they look like they're having an opportunity to get back in front.
No. Well, Lachie Neal gets a free kick, advantage paid.
No, there's a lot of carry on about that.
No, it's to me, the better team won on the day. They had more scoring, more entries, and as much as it pains me to say, they've handled themselves with a fair bit of aplomb as well. The coach, I thought, was terrific, McRae. Yeah, Darcy Moore speaks well. So hard to be too critical of Collingwood.
Collingwood were number two in the world for average game attendance for a sports team over the year.
Wow.
In the world.
What's number one?
The average 77,659. Ahead of Man United, Bayern Munich, Inter Milan. Who was number one, Jake?
Yeah, who was number one?
Just let me read this out. Collingwood number two in the world for average game attendance for a sports team, 77,659. Ahead of Man United, 73,460. Bayern Munich, Inter Milan. Doesn't tell me who number one was.
Can I just throw one at you while you're working that out?
Travis Kelce when you put
it. Is there a factor in there that because they play at the MCG, which has 100,000, and Man United, for instance, plays at Old Trafford, which has less, that doesn't hurt their cause. But irrespective, it's still huge numbers.
Good point.
I mean, they're not playing.
How much does Old Trafford hold?
Not 100. It's about, I think it's 60 or 70. So
how could they average 73,000?
Who, Man United?
Yeah.
Or maybe they've got 73 there or 75,000. It's certainly not 100,000 at Man United.
It's 74,310.
There you go.
And they've averaged 73,460. So pretty close to capacity.
But they'd also play a lot of games, say, at Craven Cottage, for instance, where there's 30,000 there. Like, so to get those numbers, it's massive.
Jane? This is why you don't put things in the run sheet. You don't know the results of them. I want to know who number one was.
Yeah, well, so do I.
Skeeter, we've been through the draft combine. A little bit of AFLW preview, West Coast and Fremantle.
Hang on,
West.
Did you tell me who's number one?
No, he's Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund. What are you laughing at?
No, he can't say it. He's trying to make you say it differently to what you're saying.
Borussia Dortmund is right, and they're a German soccer club. Yellow and black.
81,000.
Do you know
81.
Them? They're in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, Bundesliga.
Here we go, Skeeter. AFLW preview, yep. West Coast v GWS in Blacktown, 10:05 Saturday. 3 hour difference now, Skeet.
Yeah, so is that 10:05 our time or 7:05?
We lost an hour after the grand final. Did you get?
Yeah, I did.
You lost an hour in the hotel, did you?
No, I was fine. I got up in the nick of time to get to my plane. So that's on Saturday.
West Coast coming off their first win last
week. Yeah, I spoke to Hammer about that. Big win. And they had, I think it's Lauren
Wakefer,
who won the Rising Star nominee. And the Dockers this week, I'm doing that game for radio. I've got North Melbourne.
That's right.
And North Melbourne are going to pants them, I think, given what I've seen through the first few weeks of the season.
Is that right? North Melbourne very good then? Because Freo are about average.
Yeah, North's pretty good, I think.
Antai is a superstar. She's second in the league at marks at the moment. She's a gun Irish lady. She chops them up. She's a Fremantle player.
Okay, good.
Antai. and Ange Stannett was a defender. They've put her forward. She's been very good. Like her as well for the Freo Dockers.
Yeah. Well, you and I will both be there, I think, on Sunday. I'm hoping
you need to study up. You need to study up for some of the names.
I'm going to need to study up big time, big man, because I am just coming from a long way back.
Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footy Cast. Let's finish up with a couple of listener questions, so we scared out some good engagement here. If you want to send us an email, you get in touch with us, footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au, or you can send us a social, you can send us a message on social, Shelter Footycast. You haven't given us a bottom up roughie of the week trade. I already gave you mine. Bottom up roughie of the week.
Which is
Clayton
what?
Oliver gets to West Coast for Yoan, pick one. Well, and why wouldn't you? One of the best five midfielders in the competition. What, you don't want him?
So, Yoey going to Gold Coast, is that rough enough?
See you later. No, I gave you that.
Oh, did you? Okay. Let me find. Okay, so I've got to get a bottom art Ruffy trade.
Yeah, bottom art Ruffy of the week. That's okay. My Ruffy of the week.
Jay McGovern Jeremy to go McGovern. To Gold Coast.
Gone.
Yeah.
Out the door.
Well, it's a Ruffy.
What's that based on? What do they get? What do they get back?
They get back a lot of love. They get a lot of love. Whole lot of love. No, you wanted a Ruffy. Jay McGovern, he does like the coin. So
shout out, Jess. McGovern. Josh Gilby writes in, hey, legends, just wanted to shout out Skeeter for having a quick chat to a pissed idiot, me, on Thursday night.
Well, that would make two of us then if I was talking to you on Thursday night because I was at Crown.
After celebratory work dinner and many a shelter, we found ourselves in the hallowed halls of Crown Melbourne. As we pulled up to one of the many tables in the establishment, I couldn't believe my ears when I heard the unmistakable dulcet tones of the Monday and Thursday rambler himself, Mark Reddings. I couldn't help but yell, Skeeter! Can you remember this?
Hang on. Yeah, vaguely. Yeah.
To my surprise, oh, geez, good to see you looking after the fans. To my surprise, he was more... This is good. To my surprise, he was more than happy to spare a couple of minutes to talk to an avid back chat and Shelter Footycast listener, proving he's an absolute man of the people. Thanks again, mate. Hope everyone enjoyed Footy's biggest day. Keep up the good work, legends. That's from Josh.
Love Josh. No, I do remember Josh.
And, you should have given him a whack, Josh. You should.
I thought you were building up. It's very nice. No, I do remember because my mate was playing on the table. Not really a life of punt, but not so much the casino. And he was going gangbusters. I'm standing there with a bourbon thing and, righto, where do we go next? And Josh came up and said, g'day. It's nice.
So I'll just show you a picture here. Skate is a lost bird. This is down in Mandurah, I believe. No, East Vic Park. So this is from Jackie. Lost bird. Reward. Adored pet, rainbow lorikeet, as a picture of the bird, from near corner of Carson and Langler Street in East Vic Park. So this is just a public service announcement here on the Footycast.
Didn't know we're doing that.
Please call Jackie on her mobile number. Much love, pet, tame but timid, talks. His name is Skeeter. You're a parrot. You're a fucking parrot.
Is this so? Jackie. So she's
this is legitimate. This is legitimate. She's looking for a adored pet rainbow lorikeet.
So there's people in that area crying, Skeeter. So what if it was named after me?
I'm sure it would
not because of the feathers. Cause I don't have no feathers.
Yeah, the shit talking probably goes right along the way.
Well, thanks for that, Jackie. I seriously hope you find your lost pet because. That's a stressful time, I could imagine. But Skeeter, Jackie hasn't sent it to us.
Someone's just seen it.
Oh, someone's seen it.
We don't know Jackie. Well, Jackie's looking for a bird, and she's called it
if
Skeeter.
If you find out that Skeeter's been found, we'll bring Skeeter into the back chat studios for
for the next 3 months.
Sit here and parrot the crap that Will and I say.
Oh, that's us done and dusted, Skeeter. Shout out to Footycast. It's good to be back here in back chat studios, mate. We'll be back Monday. Have a good weekend.
You too. Ciao. Have fun.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.